All right, now in Proverbs chapter 6, the part that I wanted to focus on is beginning in verse number 16. Now, as a preacher, I try to preach the basics because I feel like so many preachers today, they're looking for some cute little sermon or some fancy message or something, when in reality we're neglecting some of the fundamental things, some of the most basic things that we ought to be learning and preaching in church. And so I preach a lot of basic sermons, and this is one of those basic things that seems very basic, but I think we need to talk about it, and there's so many applications of this in the Bible in so many different directions. This sermon was extremely long. I had to keep trimming it down because the Bible talks so much about the subject that I'm going to talk about right now, and that subject is lying. Look at Proverbs 6:16. The Bible reads, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." He says, a proud look, and then what's the second thing on this? A lying tongue. And then he mentions some other things, that hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. And then look at this one, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So really, lying gets a double mention here in this list of things that God just really hates. And so sometimes lying is something that we think of as not a big deal, and we think it's a small sin, and obviously there are things that are much worse than lying, but still God does hate lying. And part of the reason why God hates lying is because God is the truth. I mean, Jesus said, I am the truth. And so lying basically goes against everything that is God, everything that is the Bible. Let's look at some other verses in Proverbs before we get into this. Look at chapter 12, verse 22. Just flip a few pages over in the Bible. Proverbs 12, verse 22, the Bible reads, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." Look at chapter 17, Proverbs 17, verse 4. "A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips." Okay, this is talking about someone listening to lies, right? "A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue," right? So people who tell lies and people who hearken to lies are really many times one and the same. We're going to get into that a little later in the sermon. But look at chapter 21. Proverbs 21, verse 6. The Bible reads, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." Look at chapter 26, verse 28. Proverbs 26, 28. The Bible says, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." So basically, when you love someone, God's saying, you're going to tell them the truth. And lying to someone is a hateful act. He says, a lying tongue hateth those who are afflicted by it, who could be, number one, the person that you're lying to, or it could be the person that you're lying about. You know, they're being afflicted by your lies and so forth. Colossians 3, you don't have to turn there. Turn to Acts 5 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, 5th book in the New Testament, the book of Acts. Colossians 3, 9 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Let me show you a story in the New Testament about lying. This is in Acts chapter 5. Look at Acts 5:1. We're going to see a story in the Bible about people who told a really big lie. Acts 5:1, the Bible reads, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Now watch verse 4. "Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." He's saying to him, look, you don't have to give us any money, right? He's saying, you didn't have to sell this land and give the money to church. He's saying, when you sold it, you could have done whatever you wanted with the money. He said, whiles it remained, was it not thine own? He's saying, it's your land, it's in your power, but why lie about it? Because what he had done was, he sold his land, and he said, I'm selling this land, and I'm giving all the money to church, right? Because he's trying to look really good, like trying to give money in front of everybody to be the big hero. When in reality, he just sold the land and just gave part of it to church. Now, he didn't even have to give any of the money. But why lie about it? And lie such a hypocritical lie to make yourself look good, to lift yourself up and glorify yourself. He said, you haven't just lied unto man. He said, you've lied to God. You're lying in church. He said, it's even worse. And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost. So basically, this guy just drops dead when he gets confronted with this, okay? It says, and the young man arose. Well, it says, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Yeah, that would be a little scary. Somebody gets caught in a lie and they fall over dead. Everybody else is scared, like, oh man, what's going on here? Have I been telling the truth? It says, and the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. You say, why did his wife come 3 hours later? Because women take long to get ready. You know, so he was there on time. You know, she's 3 hours late because she had to get her hair right or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I got to take a sip of this. I'm losing my voice. So she shows up, you know, 3 hours later. She doesn't know what happened. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Right? So he basically gives this dollar amount. And it said in the first verse of the chapter, it said, with Sapphira, his wife, and then look at verse 2 of chapter 5, it says, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. So they had basically conspired together to do this. So he asked her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found it. So this is a miracle that God did, where he basically struck these people dead. Because this lie that they told, it was a wicked lie. And so God does not take lying lightly. And this was a really bad lie, because it was a lie that was intended to lift themselves up and make them the big heroes in the church, and trying to give money to make themselves look good. It reminds me of this verse, 1 Timothy 4:2. You don't have to turn there. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They don't even feel bad about telling lies in a hypocritical fashion to lift themselves up. You see, whenever we lie, you got to stop and think, what is our motive for lying? The only purpose for lying is because of what other people think.
Right.
Because God knows the truth. So whether we lie or not, God is not going to be fooled by our lie. We know that God knows everything and that God knows the truth. So if I lie to you, I'm basically saying I care more about what you think about me than what God thinks about me. Because God already knows whether I'm guilty or innocent. And so when I lie, I'm basically saying I don't care as much what God thinks as what this person thinks right now. So I'm going to disobey God. I'm going to do wrong in the sight of God in order to make this person think more highly of me. Okay? That's basically what you're doing when you're lying. Now, turn if you would back to, let's look at John chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I want to explain something to you. God cannot lie. God can't lie. This is several times in the Bible. Let me give you some scriptures on this while you're turning to John 8. Romans chapter 3, 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. You know, everybody has lied at one point or another in their life. Everybody has done it. But it's not something that ought to characterize who we are. And just because we all do it from time to time, that doesn't make it right. I mean, we've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But hey, we need to say that, you know, we're going to do our best. We're going to strive to be truthful and honest in our lives. But look at this. Let me read this for you. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Hebrews 6:18, you're in John 8, but that by two immutable things, listen to this phrase, in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's Hebrews 6:18, says it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Listen to Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You say, how did he promise anything before the world began? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he promised us eternal life before the world even began. Look down at John chapter 8. We're talking about the fact that God cannot lie. John 8:44, the Bible reads, "Year of your father the devil." This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, the Jews at that time, who were rejecting him, who had their own false religion, which is the same false religion that Judaism is today.
Right.
Don't tell me that Judaism, don't call me Judeo-Christian. I'm not Judeo-Christian, because Judaism teaches that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah. And the Bible says, who is a liar? Oh, I'm preaching about lies. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So let me tell you something. The biggest lie in the entire world, according to the Bible, is that Jesus is not the Messiah. Is that Jesus is not the Christ. That is the number one lie. He said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus... I mean, if anybody's a liar, it's somebody who says that there is a Messiah and that it's not Jesus. What religion is that? Judaism. And so Judaism is a religion of Antichrist. They think that the Messiah is still coming. And guess what? Their Messiah is coming. It's called the Antichrist. And he's on his way. And they will receive him according to the Bible. John 8:44, he said to the Pharisees, "Year of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." So the devil, according to the Bible, has no truth in him. He says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. I mean, it's just natural for the devil to lie. For he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is the father of lies, right? The devil is basically, God is truth. The devil is the father of lies. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. I mean, it just comes naturally for him to always lie. And so the devil has no truth in him. He's constantly lying. Look at chapter 8, verse 55. Same chapter, go down 11 verses. John 8:55. "Yet ye have not known him." Talking about the Father. "But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." So Jesus is saying, I'm not a liar like you are. That's because Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Look, if you would, back at Psalm 101. Psalm 101, this is right in the middle of your Bible. If you just let it fall open in the middle, you find the book of Psalms. Psalm 101. Now, it's interesting because this may seem like a negative sermon, but good night. Preaching on lying is pretty basic. You know, lying is something that we need to hear preaching on. Children that are in the room today need to learn at a young age the virtue of telling the truth, amen, of not lying. We live in a day where people lie and they don't even care. They don't even think about it. You know, I mean, there's so many lies that people tell. And it's funny because, you know, this incident that happened to me 3 weeks ago with the Border Patrol, you know, we got all the reports yesterday in the mail, which was basically their side of the story, you know, of every single Border Patrol agent involved, all the officers. And I read through it. And, you know, most of it was a lot of it was pretty accurate. I mean, you know, they left out a lot of really important things. And that's deceptive, even if you're not lying, when you say, I'm going to tell the story, and then you leave out things, you know, without really saying one way or the other. You know, your intention is to deceive, obviously. But I was reading through it, and it pretty much, everything in these reports basically just substantiated exactly what I said in my original video. I mean, the same chain of events was there. It was exactly the same. But there were certain lies found in these reports that were just, I couldn't even understand. They were just unnecessary. Where they just said, oh, and then we did this. And it just didn't happen. And I mean, I've got a video camcorder where I taped it, and there were surveillance cameras. I mean, it's eventually going to be proven that those things didn't happen. But people just lie. You know, and what do you do when there's a lie? You know, when it's just your word against somebody else, right? Who's telling the truth, right? You know? Lying is bad. We ought to just decide that even if we're never going to get caught, we ought to tell the truth because it's the right thing to do. If it makes us look bad, makes someone else look bad, hey, we should tell the truth because it's right.
Amen.
And that's what Christianity should stand for, being truthful and honest. But we talked about telling lies, and I briefly read a scripture that kind of touched on listening to lies. You know, hearkening to lies. And it said, you know, people who hearken to a lot of lies are usually a liar themselves when they believe lies. Okay. Well, let me read a verse for you. You're in Psalm 101, but Proverbs 29:12 says, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. So we shouldn't serve an evil ruler, number one. And number two, if a ruler hearken to lies, he's wicked and all his servants are wicked. But listen to this. Hosea chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth it out. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. This is God speaking. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. So this is talking about a ruler hearkening to lies. He's saying, look, some king, some ruler, some authority figures, they like to be lied to. It makes them glad when somebody lies to them. Hearkening to lies. Look at Psalm 101. This is a famous psalm. It says in verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. This is talking about when nobody's around. When you're all by yourself, right? You're in the house. He's saying, I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Look at verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Think about this now. In Psalm 101, what we're talking about, the eyes mentioned all throughout this chapter. Did you notice that? I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He that telleth lies will not tarry in my sight. We all have, not we, thank God, because I don't, but you know, in America, the majority have this machine in their house that what it ought to be called, instead of the television, it ought to be called the tell-lie vision, okay? Because that's what it is, right? The tell-lie vision, because it'll lie to you. And David is saying, look, I'm not going to set something wicked before my eyes, number one. Number two, he said, I'm not going to put my eyes upon wicked people. He said, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Now tell me something. Are the people who populate the screen of your television the faithful of the land? I mean, all the sodomites and whores and whoremongers of Hollywood, are those the faithful of the land? They're wicked people. They're promoting everything that is against God. I mean, look, I haven't watched TV in like 6 years or something. But let me ask them, has it gotten better? Because I remember it as being horrible. Tell me, can somebody raise their hand and say, you know what, they've really cleaned up TV in the last 6 years. All right. One, okay. But, you know, they've really cleaned up TV in the last 6 years, right? And, oh, the radical homosexual agenda, that's not on TV at all, right? I mean, look, think about it now. You know, the sodomite, the homosexual, the queers in this country, they make up a small percentage, my friend. And yet if you watch TV, you'd think it's every other person.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're brainwashing you to think that it's normal.
Right.
To think it's everybody. And it's not. It's an abomination.
Right.
It's vile.
Amen.
It's disgusting is what the Bible calls it. And so the TV is something that will lie to you. And I've heard so many Christians say, well, I don't watch all the filthy programming. You know, I don't watch all the people going to bed on the first date, which is basically what a lot of TV is. You know, people go on a date and then they go to bed together and you watch all this smut and show it to your children. Yeah, I don't watch that stuff. I just watch the news. That's like the worst thing you could be watching on TV. Because you're being brainwashed.
True.
Think about it. I mean, oh, I just watch the news because there's no nudity, there's no smut. Yeah, but everything you're watching on the news is pretty much a lie. Okay? You're being brainwashed with a left-wing agenda. Or if you listen to your, you know, conservative talk radio, you're getting brainwashed with an agenda of, you know, torture is fine. Torture is wonderful. I heard a statistic. Listen to this. I heard a statistic on Friday in the newspaper. It said that if you go to church, you're 10% more likely to think that torture is okay. I'm not kidding. Did anybody else hear that? It said people who think the American government should be torturing people, okay? 54% of people who go to church said yes. And, you know, 40% of people who didn't go to church said yes. You know, what's wrong with Christians today, huh? I'll tell you what, they've got their head so far in TV, or whether it's Fox News or conservative talk radio or the liberal left-wing communist news network or whatever it is, and they actually think that our government and the human beings should be torturing other people. Show me that in the Bible. Show me King David when he fought all his wars torturing someone. Somebody came to him out of the camp of the enemy. He said, if you tell us, you know, the secrets of the enemy, we'll let you live. You know, we'll take care of you. He didn't say, let me torture you until you tell us. You're not going to show me that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But people who are Christians today, they are being brainwashed by the tell lie vision. And they get their views of the world, their views of the news, their views of politics. You say, oh, well, you know, I just watch, you know, Little House on the Prairie. Look at, you know what's so bad about Little House on the Prairie? That preacher on Little House on the Prairie, Reverend Alden. That guy is so watered down. He's such a pansy. He doesn't preach the Bible. You know, he's this little sissy. And church is made to look on TV like it's sissies, like it's pansies, like it's this little girly man with his collar turned around backwards like a Catholic priest. You know, he's supposedly the preacher, you know. And Michael Landon needs a haircut anyway because the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And he's like, oh man, I can't believe you said that. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. Jesus has short hair. Read your Bible. Quit looking at all those paintings by Michelangelo. Okay? And so I'm not going to lie to you. Now you say, I don't like this kind of preaching. Do you like to be lied to? Because I'm telling you the truth. And you can look up every single thing I've just said and find it in the Bible. And so we ought not bring liars into our house. If you're watching TV and you know what's being said is a lie, why don't you turn off the TV? And better yet, I wouldn't even turn it on because I don't think there's any truth coming out of that stupid thing anymore. And so I choose not to watch TV. You say, well, I want to watch. Go ahead and watch TV. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you know what? I'm not going to have somebody who tells lies tarry in my sight. My eyes will be on the faithful of the Lamb. And so I'm not interested in what Hollywood wants to spoon feed me this week, you know, on the tell lie vision. But look, if you would, at 2 Peter chapter 3. This is toward the very end of your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And we're talking about listening to lies, believing lies, hearkening to lies. And by the way, if you hear something over and over again, you will begin to believe it, no matter who you are. You know, we sometimes think that we're above that. You know, oh, we're above, you know, we're smart enough to separate the truth from the lie. Well, maybe the first 100 times. But if you hear something over and over and over and over again, you will begin to believe it. It's true. And so I there have been so many things in my life that I've believed. Just because I heard them over and over again growing up, heard them in church, heard them from parents. You hear things on TV again and again, and it took me years and years to realize, wait, that's not true, you know? But I'd heard it so many times, I just thought it was true. That's the danger of listening to lies. And so we ought to try to listen to the truth. You know, this is your source of truth right here. If you're reading the Bible every day, that's going to help you keep a firm grasp on the truth. You know, there's so many things. People are saying this. People are saying that. This is your foundation right here. This is your foothold where you can anchor yourself and say, wait a minute, there's this opinion, there's that opinion. Let's go to the Bible and get a truth test here, okay? And so if we spend more time reading the Bible than listening to anything, whether it be radio, TV, you know, what other people are saying, if we get most of our information from the Bible, that's going to keep us on track with what's true and right. Where did I have you turn? What chapter?
2 Peter 3.
2 Peter 3. Okay. Look at verse number 3. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now watch the next phrase in verse 5. For this they are willingly ignorant of. You see, some people are willingly ignorant. They want to be deceived and to believe a lie. They don't care about the truth. They don't even care what's real. They say they are willingly ignorant. It's not just an accident that nobody's ever taken the time to tell them. No, they're choosing to be ignorant of what? That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. What is this saying? It's saying that people walk after their own lusts and say, where is the promise of His coming? Where is the second coming of Christ? And this is what they say. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know. Now, we believe creation was 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. But the people in this world who don't believe the Bible, who scoff at the Bible, they believe in the Big Bang, right? That's their creation, you know. They believe that this world was created by an explosion of matter and just an accident, nothing. Okay, they think that things have just continued as they were since then, right? Evolution for millions and billions of years. When in reality, this earth could not exist for hundreds of millions of years. It's not possible. The earth is dying. You know, the earth is going through a process of life here. The sun is going through a process. I mean, stars have a lifespan. They're born, they live, they die. And yet they want you to believe that this world has been here for 4 billion years. When in reality, that's not even possible. The sun is running out of fuel. I mean, there are layers of dust. There are things that have eroded. I mean, you can look at the world and prove the fact this world is not billions of years old. Cannot happen. Cannot work. It's not true. It's a lie. But they're willfully ignorant of the fact that it was God's word that created this world. So they believe this lie that, you know, dog begets cat, you know, that fish begets lizard, you know. And I'm wondering, how did it go from being a fish to a lizard, you know? Was it, I mean, stop and think about this. A single-celled organism has like 30 parts. Where'd that come from? Because, oh, it all started with just a little single-celled organism. Where'd that come from? Evolution can't explain it. They can try to make up something how the single cell became a human being. The real question is, where did life begin? Yeah. And they can't make life in a laboratory even to this day. They cannot do it. I mean, they could have, you give them all the chemicals they want, they can't bring something to life. You could give them something that's dead and say, make it live. And it won't live, even if it's just a tiny organism. Can't do it. And so it's a lie. You know, evolution's a lie. I'm not going to go into that in this sermon. It's a different sermon in and of itself. But people willfully choose to believe evolution. They choose to believe in the Big Bang because they're walking according to their own lusts, is what it says. So because they want to live this life of, if it feels good, do it, then it's very convenient to believe that we're all animals, right? And we're all just evolved animals, and so if it feels good, do it. Let's be willfully ignorant of the truth that God created the world and also that He flooded this world in the days of Noah, which there's all kinds of evidence for that as well. But they don't want to believe in creation. They don't want to believe that God destroyed this world with a flood, because to acknowledge that God destroyed this world with a flood is to acknowledge that He's going to destroy this world a second time with fire. Look at the next verse. It says in verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly. You know, one day, God's going to destroy this world. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away, Jesus said, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. That's another sermon. But we see people willfully ignorant, choosing not to believe what's right because it fits their agenda. They'd rather believe a lie. It's more convenient to believe a lie and to just live a life of lust, you know, and self-gratification. Look at Romans chapter 1. Along the same lines, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. This is the sixth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. About halfway through the New Testament, you'll find Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible reads in Romans 1, 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." What are we saved by? Faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But to him that worketh not, the Bible says, no works, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for us. I mean, a person could be a wicked sinner, and our eyes say, oh man, well this, you know, this guy is on drugs, and he's, you know, an adulterer. But if he believes on Christ, his sins are forgiven.
Amen.
But another person who's maybe, you know, self-righteous and they live a pretty good life, if they don't believe on Christ, they will not be saved. Because it's all based on faith.
Right.
We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? It's whosoever believeth, come on, the most famous verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, it's whosoever believeth. Is that true or not? Oh, is there some people believe who aren't going to be saved? No. Whosoever believeth will be saved. Those who do not believe will be damned, according to the Bible. Now, in Romans chapter 1, we talk about some people who go too far with God, and they no longer have the opportunity to be saved, and they become very wicked where they cross line. You know, there are unpardonable sins. Believe it or not, it's what the Bible teaches. Revelation 22 says, if you change God's word, if you remove or take away and pervert God's word, you have lost your opportunity to ever be saved. Same thing in Romans chapter 1 here is described, but look at Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, talking about the invisible things of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's saying, you can look at the natural world and see God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, you can look up at the stars, you can look at the trees, and see God created this marvelous world that we live in. He says, nobody has an excuse not to believe in God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, means that they were exposed to God, I mean, they were familiar with God, not saying they were saved, they didn't believe on Him, they just knew Him. Like I know Brother Dave, you know. It doesn't mean that He's my Savior, okay? But I know Him. They knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So they rejected Him, okay? They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. This is talking about idolatry, like making statues and pictures and saying it represents God. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, talking about worshiping animals. He says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It's talking about people lustfully going out and, you know, adultery, fornication, so forth. He says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Notice that. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Because we're talking about lying here. It says, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So here's somebody twisting the truth of God. You know, thy word is truth, is what God said about the Bible. Taking God's word, taking God's truth, taking true religion, you know, God's teachings, and changing it into a lie. Worshipping the animal kingdom, you know, worshipping images, statues of wood or stone or metal, worshipping human beings, worshipping man. He said, and, you know, worshipping man or worshipping four-footed beasts or worshipping birds or whatever the case. He says, when they did that, he says, therefore, he said in verse 26, because they twisted God's word, because they changed the truth, they twisted the gospel, and they're teaching people this false lies about God and about religion. He says, for this cause, God gave them up. See, God never gives up on anybody. Well, that's what it said. God gave them up unto vile affections. What does vile mean? Disgusting. Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men. What's that talking about? Homosexuality. It says, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. Here's the key verse, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, to do these disgusting things, these vile things. He says, God gave them up. God gave them over, and they became like an animal. They became like a beast and did these vile actions that we see today. Now look, the Bible is saying here that lying, okay, hearkening to lies can be the hallmark of a very wicked person, okay? It starts out just a lie. It starts out just believing a lie, right? But as we read through Romans 1, it's like a downward spiral. First, it's just a lie of, well, you know, God doesn't exist. You know, there are a lot of people who believe that lie, but then later they ended up getting saved and believing on Jesus Christ. I mean, I know many people who were saved, and there was a time in their life when they were an atheist, you know? They didn't believe in God, you know? Maybe they just looked at the fact that Christians, you know, thought it was okay to torture people and stuff, and they thought, well, man, you know, maybe Christianity is not right. Or maybe they looked at the Catholic Church, you know, executing people throughout the Middle Ages and torturing people, and the Crusades and the Inquisition and all the atrocities. But look, that doesn't change the fact that the Bible's true and that God is real and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, okay? But then later they got saved. But what happens is when people persist in that idea that there is no God, and they reject God, and they reject God, and people give them the gospel, and they reject it, and they reject it, then they get into this animal worship, this human body worship, you know, where, and today people, you know, they worship the body, they worship the human body, or they worship animals, and they, you know, a lot of where our environmentalism is, it's like a worship of animals, like lifting up animals above humankind and say, you know, if we could just learn from the dolphins, you know, then our society would be so much better, you know what I mean? Like, if we could somehow learn to be like a dolphin, you know, and dolphins, not the Bible, we don't need the Bible, you know, we need to understand, you know, the panda. He lays on his back all day and he chews bamboo 20 hours per day. Isn't it something like that? Oh man, you know, I was reading some statistics. They sleep and eat. That's all pandas do or something. They just like lay there, you know. You get it, like you see them at the zoo, you know. Now there are some animals we can learn from. God told us in the Bible, did you notice that in Proverbs 6? He said, go to the ant thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. He said, having no guide, no overseer, you know, still does all the work. So, you know, of course, our government thinks we need like a guide and an overseer in every area of our life, or everything's just going to fall apart, right? They need to look at an anthill and understand that it's, you know, people can still function without, you know, somebody striking them with a whip, telling them what to do, okay? But that's another sermon of itself. But look, they begin to lift up animals and say, nature is God. And you know there are people who believe this. Nature is God. You know, God is in the tree, and he's in the animals, and the, you know, in India, look at it, the whole nation in India, the sacred cow, worshiping a cow. Now look, God created the cow, but we ought to worship and serve the Creator. We ought to admire His marvelous creation. We ought to look at the ant and say, what an amazing creation. What a hard-working animal. There are other animals that God tells us not to be like. He tells us not to be like the ostrich in the book of Job. He tells us not to be like the sloth. Okay? But when we look at the ant and we look at the cow, we shouldn't say, oh cow, oh ant farm, teach me, ant hill. You know, teach me how to work, oh ant. Spirit of the ant, come into me so that I can succeed at my job and work as hard as an ant. I want to be able to carry 60 times my weight or whatever. Okay? No! We should look at the ant and say, God is trying to teach me something. God has created this. The Bible teaches me these things. Okay? And instead of worshiping the creature, worship the Creator. But this downward spiral, we believe a lie. We believe a lie. People come and tell us the truth. They open the Bible. Try to tell us the truth. Tell us the truth. We believe a lie. We believe a lie. We believe a lie. Then we take God's word, we change it into a lie. See, I don't like what it says. I'm going to change it. What happens? Pretty soon, God gives up. I mean, that's what it said three different times in the chapter. God gave him up. God gave him over. God gave him up. God gives up. And then that's when you see people become really, really wicked. And you know, if you're not naive, there are people in this world who there's no hope for. They're evil people. They're wicked people. And I mean, think the Jeffrey Dahmers. You know what I mean? The John Wayne Gacy. The Ted Bundy. I mean, these people who are just so sick and evil, you say, how could a human being be that way? Because God gave them up. God just totally removes any conscience, you know, and just says, I'm done with you. And then that's where you see these people that are wicked. That concept is taught throughout the Bible. It's emphasized in Romans chapter 1. But we see here that these people, they you say, who would change the Bible? Who would change God's Word? It's happening every day in America. There is a new Bible version coming out almost every day. A new version of the Bible. But here's what you got to understand about Bible versions. Just hear me out for a second. Bible versions are copyrighted because it's a financial business, obviously. You know, they print a Bible, they sell it for money. And in fact, you can go to the Bible bookstore, and I'd love for you to do this and see what I'm saying. You can find the exact same Bible, okay? And I'm talking about the same leather, the same paper, the same brand name, the same quality. One in the King James Version, and one in the NIV, the New American Standard. The NIV costs a dollar more, always. And you'll find all the different versions. I'm talking about the identical packaging, identical leather, identical quality. The NIV is $1 more. The King James is $1 less. The only Bible you can ever find at a 99-cent store is a King James Version. And let me tell you why. Because that dollar is the royalties. You know, you're not even allowed. It's illegal, literally illegal, to take one of these modern Bibles, put it on a Xerox machine, copy the page, and hand it to somebody. Because you've just infringed upon the copyright. You must get permission from the author to do that. Okay? King James Version has no copyright, therefore it costs a dollar less. You know, it's $5, $6. Okay. Now you say, well, so what if it's copyrighted? Well, here's the thing about copyrights. In order for me to copyright something, it has to be at least 4% different than anything else. Okay. So I can't just change one word in the Bible, copyright it and call it the Steven Anderson version, or change one word in the NIV and say, well, this isn't the NIV, this is the Steven Anderson version. It's just like the NIV except one word's different. They'd say, no, you are infringing upon the copyright of the NIV. There must be a 4% change. Now, think about this. If you've got like 400 different versions in English, which is what there are on the market today, and they're all 4% different from one another, none of them are within 4% of each other, that's a scary thought. Okay? God is not the author of confusion, and that is confusion.
Yep.
When you have 400 different Bibles that are all 4% different from one another, that's a pretty scary thought. And see, if you think about it politically, like the Constitution. What if we had 400 different versions of the Constitution? Right? People already argue about how to interpret the Constitution. People argue about how to interpret the Bible. Then you combine that with 400 different Bibles. I've literally sat in a Bible study when I was a teenager where everybody had a different Bible. I had a King James. This guy had the NIV. This guy had the Living Bible. This guy had the New American Standard. And the guy who was leading the Bible study said something, and people are saying, my Bible doesn't say anything like that. My Bible says something completely different. You know, and I mean, you could, you know, I've done whole sermons on this. I'm not going to do it now. But I've done whole sermons where I just compared the King James with the NIV, which is the most popular of the new Bibles. And really, the NIV, New American Standard, there's not really much difference. They all agree with each other. This one's kind of the oddball out, the King James Version. Okay. And it's funny, if you compare them, you don't even have to be an archaeologist to tell which one's true and which one's wrong. When I was a teenager, nobody'd ever taught me anything about this. I read a King James, I read an NIV, I was like, King James. Because I noticed that what the NIV was doing, we had an agenda behind it. I mean, it takes out the word sodomite ever. Okay. Sodomite meaning, you know, that's a derogatory term that the Bible uses for somebody who's a homosexual. Completely gone from the NIV. The NIV removes the word hell every single time it occurs in the Old Testament. Gone. So you will be 81% into the Bible when you read the word hell for the first time in the NIV. So it almost takes away all references to hell. Takes out the word damnation completely. Takes out God's name Jehovah completely. Okay. And so there's so many different things. But I mean, you don't have to be a genius to tell that this book is not right. Like, it's funny. Let me just show you a couple things. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I'm not going where you think I'm going. InfoWars visitors. But anyway, you know, Romans 13, okay. I'm going to a totally different part of this chapter, to be honest. I didn't even think about that. But look at Romans 13. Let me show you a change here. It's just, this is like a Freudian slip of the NIV. Look at verse 9 of Romans 13. In Romans 13, 9, you're looking down at your King James Bible, you know, hopefully, and I'm looking at the NIV. Tell me what's missing. See if you can find it. Well, I'll read the King James first. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? Listen to the NIV. You look down at the King James. See if you can catch the difference. The commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatsoever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. What's missing? Okay. He's listing. There's five Ten Commandments that deal with God and five Ten Commandments that deal with man. He's listing the five that deal with man and saying you can really sum them up as love your neighbor as yourself. You wouldn't be doing these things to your neighbor. But instead of listing all five like the King James does, it leaves out one. Thou shalt not bear false witness, which is the one about lying. Okay? So the NIV just leaves out the one about lying. Okay? Here's another funny one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? I think it might be 2 Corinthians. Somebody turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Where is this thing? You know what? It's 2 Corinthians 2. Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I'll read you another little gem from this wonderful translation, the NIV. Here's another little gem. Here's something to put up on the wall. Maybe you could put this special verse from the NIV. Maybe you could frame it in calligraphy and put it on your wall next to your door in your house because it's such a sweet verse from the NIV. Listen to this. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. What? That's what the NIV says in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Telling you to beat your own body. This is disgusting. It's satanic. It's wrong. Beating yourself is a sin. You say, who beats themselves? Millions of Roman Catholics in the Philippines once a year beat themselves with a whip? Okay? It's wrong. And you, did you know that in 16th century England, Henry VIII, when he kicked out the Roman Catholic Church and started the Anglican Church, made a law against beating yourself. Self-flagellation became illegal. They said, we're kicking the Catholics out and beating yourself is going out with it. You know? Now, whoever thought they'd have to have a law against beating yourself? But I'm telling you what, Satan, listen to me now, Satan wants people to destroy themselves. And people who are satanic are self-destructive. People who are demon-possessed, you know what they do? They cut themselves. Don't tell me you don't know about this, because I grew up, when I was in high school, there were all kinds of girls in my high school who cut themselves. And they're listening to Nine Inch Nails. They're listening to Marilyn Manson. They go home and they cut themselves. Why? It's of the devil. The devil wants you to be self-destructive. Look at all the rock stars who committed suicide. You know, they're suicidal, they're cutting themselves, they're beating themselves, and yet this is in the name of religion in the Catholic Church and in the NIV. Institutionalized self-beating. Okay, so no, now I close my Bible. Alright, so you're in 2 Corinthians 2:17. So first of all, we saw that the NIV just happened to leave out that commandment about not lying. You know, but listen to this one. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That's talking about people corrupting it, changing it, altering it. What is corruption? It's when things alter state in a form of decay. They alter for the worse. That is corruption. Impurity. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we Christ. So there are people out there in this world who want to corrupt and change and twist and decay the word of God. That's exactly what this book is doing, the NIV. Listen to what the NIV changes the verse. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Now wait a minute. They took out the verse that says don't corrupt it. And they changed it with a verse saying we don't sell it. Did you catch that? Do you know what it means to peddle? Peddling things is selling. You know, being a street peddler, you're selling things. We are not as many. We do not peddle the word of God for profit. Now let me ask you, who's peddling it for profit? The NIV or the King James? You see, when you buy a King James Bible, you're not buying the words. You're buying the leather. You're buying the paper. You're buying the ink. You're buying the book off the shelf. But when you're buying the NIV, you're spending $5 for the book off the shelf and $1 for the words. Because that's the royalties to the author. And that's why, let me make a prediction right now. The NIV will be off the market in 20 years. You say, why? Because copyrights only last 50 years. And that's why they have to keep changing it. And the NIV, the New Testament came out in 1973. The Old Testament came out in 1980. So they can only copyright the NIV until when? 2030. And then they're going to have to come out with a new one. That's why the Revised Standard Version, the RSV, came out in 1950. You can't buy it anymore. You can buy the new RSV, which is 4% different than the RSV. You can buy the New American Standard Version. Do you understand where this is going? You can't buy it. Why can't you buy an American Standard Version? Because it's more than 50 years old. The copyright is expired. You can't make any money off of it. So you got to get the new American Standard Version, the new Revised Standard Version, and I don't know what's going to be, the new International Version. The Revised New International Version. And they're already experimenting. They've come out with three new NIVs that they're experimenting with. Just throwing them out there, seeing which one catches on, because they got to make that money, because they're peddling the Word of God for money. They're adding that to the Bible. We don't peddle the Word of God for money. That's exactly what they're doing. And so, I have whole sermons about that, but you say, why are you talking about it? Because we're talking about lying.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the worst lies that there are. The worst lie is to say Jesus isn't the Messiah.
Yeah.
The worst lie is when you start changing the Bible and lying about what God said. The worst lies are when you lie, listen to me, to lift up yourself and make people think like Ananias and Sapphira did. But let me tell you something. All lying is wrong. I got to close the sermon for sake of time. Don't get in the habit of lying. Because lying takes you on a downward spiral. The first lie is the hardest lie to tell. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we practice to deceive. You tell a lie, and then you got to tell another lie to cover that lie. And you got to tell another lie to cover that lie. And you start telling lies. And what happens is, when you first lie, and if you don't lie that often, you tell a lie and you're like, oh man, why did I say that? Right? You know, who's ever been there? You know, you've lied, but don't raise your hand. Don't tell me you're a liar. Anyway, you know, you tell a lie and you feel bad about it. You're like, oh man, you know, why did I do that? I should have just told the truth. But you know, the next time it's going to be a little easier. And when you get to where you're telling lies on a daily basis, pretty soon lies are just rolling off your tongue like nothing. And I've literally known people who lied when there was no reason to lie. Like they weren't even in any kind of trouble. There was no reason to lie. They just lied because it's just natural to lie. Don't become that kind of person. If you want to be like Jesus, if you want to be Christ-like, the one attribute that really sums him up more than everything is the truth. He said, I am the truth. God cannot lie. Jesus said, I cannot lie. Abraham Lincoln said it, but I'm sure he'd lied before. And so I'm saying here, hey, the truth. Learn to love the truth. Not only you tell the truth, but learn to hate lies. When you hear somebody lying, you know what? You ought to not listen to it. And when you hear the TV lying or the radio lying or preachers that lie, it ought to make you upset. You ought not say, well, he's lying, but who cares? Sounds good. Fits my agenda. Makes me feel good. No, you ought to be the type of person who is seeking the truth in your life. You love the truth. You want to know the truth. The truth will make you free, the Bible says. Jesus said, I'm the truth. And he said, these seven things are an abomination. Lying lips. False witness that speaketh lies. He said, I hate lying. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, please help us not to lie. We've all done it. We've all lied before. But God, help us not to fall into the trap of becoming a brazen liar. Help us not to just keep lying and lying and lying and lying. And you know, if we've lied in the past, dear God, and maybe there are people, you know, who've become a habitual liar. And I've known some people that I felt like were good people, but they got into this thing of just lying. God, please just help us all, every single one of us, to speak the truth. And the next time we're tempted to lie, help us to think about some of these scriptures, think about these verses. Next time someone's lying to us, help us to stop and think about it and say, you know what, I'm just going to tell the truth. And let the chips fall where they may. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's sing one song before we go. And Brother Dave, can you come and lead the song? Because my throat's hurting me here. Let's just sing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, 169.
I
don't think it would have helped.
It would have helped. Every time you
this was helping the most.
Every time
you do it, it
gets way better.
See ya. Hi. Oh, cool. Is that Thomas the Train?
I can't believe it.
Yeah. All right.
Some anyone to help you. Like, you could have
that was a different
try.
Problem. That was a coughing thing. That was different.
I should have given that a try.
That really was distracting me in my sermon when you brought me that.
Sorry, I thought you were going to come.